Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. We've been through much of the book of Revelation. Remember, Revelation is a chronological book. What I mean by that is the first three chapters of Revelation deal with the churches, the seven churches in Asia Minor. And then after chapter 3, John is taken up, and there's never a mention of the word church throughout the rest of the book of Revelation. And so the next thing that happens in chapters 4 through 16 is the Great Tribulation and all the judgments that are poured out on the earth. And so we're getting towards the end of the book now, and there are a couple of events here at the end of the book that we need to learn about. In reviewing the chronology, just a reminder, the rapture of the saints is the next event on God's calendar. And when that happens, after that happens, the Antichrist will be revealed here on earth. And so there may be people that are theorizing about the Antichrist and have ideas, but the truth is he's not going to be revealed until the rapture takes place. Once the Antichrist is revealed, then the tribulation begins, those 7 years of judgment. First 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to sign a treaty with Israel, and it's going to be somewhat of a peaceful time until the middle of that tribulation, when the abomination of desolation takes place, the sacrificial system is done away with, and now the Antichrist becomes a dictator. Now he becomes a violent man, and people take the mark, and if you don't take the mark, you can't buy or sell, and it is a troublesome time. The last 3.5 years being the greatest judgments, being a time where the greatest judgments of God's anger are poured out upon this earth. And so, after the Antichrist is revealed, the tribulation on earth. While that's taking place on earth, those 7 years, there are a number of things that are taking place. One of them is the judgment seat up in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ for believers. Remember, believers are raptured. They're out of the tribulation, and so they're going to face a judgment. Remember, that judgment is not to declare whether or not they are saved. That judgment is to look at our works and reward us for works, and also to reveal to us the works where we suffered loss. And so that judgment's going to take place up in heaven. Marriage Supper of the Lamb is possibly in heaven for the church. There are two thoughts on that. One is that it's during this time, during the judgment seat of Christ. The other is that it's during or at the beginning of the millennial reign. I personally lean towards a timing of being up in heaven during the tribulation. On the back of your handout, it lays out some of those different views on that front. Okay. The tribulation ends here on earth, 7 years, and the Antichrist and the false prophet and the devil, the satanic trinity, will, in that last judgment, persuade all the armies of the earth to gather together against God. And that's setting up for the battle of Armageddon. But before that happens, Christ comes in glory. And he comes to the Mount of Olives, and we know this to be the second coming of Christ. And so that's going to take place after the tribulation. We are going to come with him, and we're going to go to the Valley of Jezreel, the Valley of Megiddo, and we are going to be at the Battle of Armageddon, and Christ is going to destroy all the armies of the world with the sword of his mouth. And so that's going to take place. At the end of that battle, the beast and the false prophet are going to be cast into the lake of fire. They will be done forever and bound forever in the lake of fire. Then we studied last week that there is a 75-day interval between the Battle of Armageddon and when Christ comes, when he sets up his millennial reign, where he reigns for 1,000 years. We showed you that from Daniel chapter 12, and you can go back and look at that. We believe that there'll be a lot of cleanup from the Valley of Jezreel to take place. We believe that during this time,
The sheep and the goats will be judged. If you remember last week, we talked about those that made it through the tribulation, saved, unsaved, Jews, Gentile, will be gathered and judged. And those that are not in Christ, those that received the mark of the beast and made it through the tribulation, they'll be cast into hell. And those that received Christ and made it through the tribulation, they will enter the millennial reign with Christ. We learned last week that the millennial reign is one of three times where the earth only has believers in it. First one being Adam and Eve, okay? And they sinned, and obviously sin came into the world through them. But there was a time where they lived and they had not sinned. They had perfect fellowship with the Father. Then Noah and his family after the flood, who were believers, who by faith built the ark because they believed a flood was coming. And they were on the earth. And now the third time that that takes place is the millennial reign, where only believers will begin together in the millennial reign of Christ. However, those believers will be made up of people with glorified bodies, those that have been resurrected, all right? Those Old Testament saints, those New Testament saints, they will begin the millennium with a resurrected body. But those that are judged and come out of the Great Tribulation and survive the Great Tribulation and are believers, they will enter the millennial reign with mortal bodies, which means sinful bodies, which means in the millennial reign, a thousand-year reign of Christ, they're going to have children, and those children are going to sin, and children are going to have children, and we're going to go all through the sin thing again until the end of the millennial reign. And at the end of the millennial reign, what's going to take place? Satan is going to be loosed for one last time. And the Bible says there's going to be enough people on the earth that rebel against God with Satan that they will be numbered as the sand of the sea. Or there's going to be a lot of people at the end of the millennial reign of Christ that rebel for one last time against the Lord. And so Satan's loosed in the final revolt. And then the Bible says and teaches us in Revelation chapter 20 that the people that have rebelled against him will be cast into or will be burned up. I want you to see that. Go to Revelation chapter 20. And look at verse number 7. And when the thousand years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in that beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And so that revolt that Satan leads, God's going to send fire down at the millennial reign, at the end of the millennial reign, and is going to devour them. And then he's going to take care of Satan once and for all. Verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so you see the bullet there towards the bottom of your page, the orange sheet. Satan cast into the lake of fire. And then two more things, the great white throne judgment, which we'll deal with this morning, and the new heaven and the new earth. Next week, I'm going to come, and I'm going to scramble all those. All right? On one side of the piece of paper, I'm going to give you blanks on the other side. And so you have an assignment this week, all right? And that is, if you want to take the quiz next week, you don't have to. But if you would like to take the quiz next week, we would like you to work towards knowing those things in order. What's going to take place? So I've given to you them in order. The wording will be the same. I'm just going to jumble them because one of the purposes of the whole series is that you know what's going to happen in order of what the Bible says it's going to happen. And so I give that to you as a reference point, and then we can come back next week. And you can choose to take it or you can choose not to take it. You can still come to church if you don't want to take it, all right? We're not going to blackball anybody next week. We'll have a handout in your bulletin. All right? Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. That's where we're at. Now Satan has been cast into the lake of fire. The millennial reign is over. Those that rebelled against God were burned up. And now the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This particular passage deals with the great white throne judgment. By the way, what God has preserved for over 2,000 years in the scriptures, I want you to understand it is not a novel. What we are dealing with is truth. God is a God of truth. And in His mercy and in His grace, He has laid out some things for us that are going to happen in the future as a means of warning and also as a means to awake us that every individual needs to be saved. They need to be in Christ. They need forgiven of their sin. Because when we get to this event in the end times, this is the event of finality. The Great White Throne Judgment is the final judgment, and it's a permanent judgment. The thing about the 28 judgments of the tribulation are this. While they are terrible, and while they are one upon another, and it will be the worst the world has ever seen, at the end of 7 years, it's over. When we get to the Great White Throne Judgment, now we're talking about the lake of fire. There is no end to the lake of fire. Once somebody's cast into the lake of fire, they are there forever and ever and ever. Day and night, they are tormented there forever and ever and ever. You say, well, why would a loving God do that? Because sin has to be dealt with, and God is a just God as well. And He is also a holy God. But He is a loving God. And the reason that we can say He is loving is because He lets man know that this is coming and that it can be avoided. But if you don't choose Christ and you don't believe in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as the payment for your sin, and you're not born again, and you go through and you die today, then the future is not bright for you at all. Because that means that you're going to stand before God at this judgment described in Revelation 20. Or you go through, you don't die. Jesus comes back, takes His saints to heaven. You stay on earth because you weren't saved. You go through the tribulation and you make it through, and you're judged at the judgment prior to the millennial reign, and you're cast into hell. Guess what? You still end up at the great white throne judgment. And so this judgment, I want you to see, first of all, the people that are present at the great white throne judgment. The Bible says in verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great." Small, what may seem as insignificant people are going to be there, and great people are going to be there. It's not going to matter the class that you lived in on this earth, whether you're middle class, whether you're white collar or blue collar or whatever. That's not going to determine who's at this judgment. There are going to be people from all walks of life. There are going to be people from all classes of life. They're going to stand before God. The Bible says, "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Interesting here, the sea is going to give up the dead that was in it. Bodies that were cast into the sea or lost at sea. Physical bodies will be resurrected from the sea. Okay? Bin Laden You remember when bin Laden was taken and killed? What'd they do? They took him on a ship and dumped him at sea, right? Well, bin Laden, if he's without Christ, is going to be resurrected, his body, to meet his soul from hell at the great white throne judgment. The sea gives up the dead. The Bible says death gives up the dead, or those that are in the grave, their bodies are going to be resurrected to meet with their souls and be united with their souls at the great white throne judgment. This is not something that is imaginary. This is not something that somebody's going to go through the judgment and think, you know what, I just had a bad dream. No, your body's going to be reconnected with your soul, and you are going to stand physically, knowing what's going on, before God. That's a scary prospect. That's a sobering thought. And God says this is going to happen, and it's going to happen just like I say it's going to happen. Turn back to Revelation chapter 20 and look at verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But this is now the second resurrection in Scripture. Remember the first resurrection? Part of it takes place at the rapture, right? The other part of it takes place right prior to the millennium, where the martyrs are resurrected, right? Two parts of the first resurrection. Here we have a second resurrection, and it is the resurrection of all those that have rejected Christ throughout history. All of them will be resurrected on this day at the great white throne judgment. What is the proof that will be presented at the judgment? If you walk into a courtroom today, there's usually a defendant and there's usually a plaintiff. There's somebody being accused, and there's somebody that is bringing the accusation or is responsible, has a burden of proof, right? Okay, if you're going to go into a courtroom, you better have some evidence. You better have some proof for whatever you're going in for. At the great white throne judgment, God's not just making on-the-spot calls on people. There's going to be proof there. There's going to be books that are there, the Scripture says. I want you to see the text carefully. The Bible says, verse number 12, the second part of the verse, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The picture here is this, that God is an excellent record keeper. And that in fact, on each person that is an unbeliever, he has a record of all their works in this life. And the Bible says those books are going to be opened on that day. And they're going to be judged according to their works. Now watch this. Does good works save a person? No. So, is the judgment really about God measuring their good works against their bad works and saying, oh, sorry, you didn't have enough good works to outdo your bad works? Is that what the Great White Throne Judgment is about? No. No. People are at the Great White Throne Judgment because they rejected Christ. Because Christ is the only one that can forgive a person of all their sins, because he shed his blood on Calvary for all of mankind. People that are resurrected to meet God at the great white throne judgment are there because their sins have never been dealt with by the blood of Christ. They chose to reject Christ instead of receiving Christ. Now they're going to be judged according to their works. What does that mean, preacher? That means, I believe, that there are going to be different degrees of punishment in the lake of fire according to a man's works. Now watch this. Every person standing before God at the great white throne judgment is going into the lake of fire. Every single one of them are going to experience the torture of the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. All right? Every single person that stands at that judgment is going there. But he judges them according to their works. I'm a believer of this, that those who have led people to a false sense of salvation are going to be in deeper trouble on that day. I'm a firm believer of this. Those that have had opportunity to receive Christ and have sat under gospel preaching and teaching over and over and over again and have rejected it over and over and over again, I believe they will suffer to a greater degree than somebody who heard the gospel one time. I believe that the people that have lived their lives for Satan and have lived in maximizing sin in their life on every front are going to have a greater degree of punishment in hell. He's going to judge them according to their works. You say, preacher, do you have any other support for that? Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Can you imagine? You stand up at the judgment, and God looks on his bookshelf and has a library of books on your life, and he begins to open one and record your evil deeds on this earth. And you're standing there in great shame, and you're standing there in great sorrow and before a holy God. And he puts that book back on the shelf and he pulls up book number 2. And he opens that book on your works. And he begins to reveal the evil works, the sins that you've committed while you lived on this earth. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, the Bible says, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Interesting here that the Bible takes a region, Capernaum, that saw the mighty works of God and rejected him. Saw what God had done. By the way, every person on this earth can see the mighty works of God. It's called creation. Every person is introduced to God by what they see around them. The people in Capernaum saw the miracles of Christ firsthand, eyeball with their eyes, and they rejected him. And here's what Christ said to them. "It shall be more tolerable for Sodom." Whoa, Sodom, Sodom. What does the Bible tell me about Sodom? God burned it with fire and brimstone because of the wickedness that was in it, because of the homosexuality, because of the vileness of Sodom. He burned it. Watch this. "It'll be more tolerable for Sodom than for those," watch this, "that sit in an independent Baptist church and see the miracles of God in people's lives and see answered prayers and inwardly still reject Christ." My friend, we better be sure of our salvation. We better know that we're saved, because if we end up going to the great white throne judgment because we're not saved, we've rejected Christ. If I could say it this way, the lake of fire will be all the more turned up forever and ever. And I don't think I'm speaking outside the bounds of Scripture here. I think that the Scripture is making this point by the books of works that will be there, by Matthew chapter 11. There's another book that's going to be there. That's the book of life, Matthew chapter 7. Go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 through 23. The book of life almost seems to be a book at the great white throne judgment that will do away with all appeals. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 22, the Bible says this. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This book of life described in Revelation chapter 20, it describes that another book was opened, which is the book of life. That book, but I think I ought to go to heaven, Lord. Just a second. Let me open up the book of life. I don't find your name there. The evidence. You see, when a believer gets saved, where is his name recorded? In the Lamb's book of life. By the way, never to be taken out. All right? So the book of life is going to be present at the great white throne judgment. And someone may try to say, but Lord, did I not do, watch this, it's not a judgment of works. You're not going to go to heaven by works. Now, just a second, let me look at the book of life. A book of life, your name's not here. I'm sorry. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity in everlasting fire. The books will be there. There will be proof. Remember, it's by grace that ye are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, we have four individuals that are planning to be baptized today. They didn't get saved by works. No man has ever been saved by works, by doing good things. Every person that's been saved, genuinely saved, have been saved by grace. That means God gives us what we don't deserve in salvation. And it's through the means of faith, belief on Christ. And the story here of the facts of the great white throne judgment reveal to us that it's not by works. Let's look at the judge present, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This isn't a judge that goes back on his word. Neither is this a judge that makes wrong calls. This is a judge that will make every right call. And when he makes the call, his decision is final. You know, you go into court and you don't like the verdict. Well, I'll file an appeal. Hopefully I'll get a different judge. Or maybe I'll get the same judge and maybe he will have woke up on the right side of the bed that day. Not at the great white throne judgment. Your judge is God. All his judgments are final. And all of his judgments are right. And so that's who people are going to be standing before at this judgment. The punishment given. Look at verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The length of this judgment, preacher, if somebody dies and they end up at the great white throne judgment, aren't they just going to be thrown into the lake of fire and just be consumed and it all be over? No. That teaching is known as annihilationism. There are people that believe that. The problem is the Bible doesn't teach that. What does the Bible describe this time as? It describes it in Mark chapter 3, verse number 29, as eternal damnation. Key word there, eternal. In Matthew 18, verse number 8, where it talks about if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. If thine eye offend thee, cut it out. It would be better to do that than to enter in with two hands or two eyes or two feet into everlasting fire. The key there, key word there is everlasting. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 2, talks about eternal judgment. The key word, eternal. Jude chapter 1, talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and those that have given themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Key word, eternal. Revelation 19, verse number 20 is interesting. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. That's in Revelation chapter 19. That's at the end of the battle of Armageddon. Now we're at the end of the millennium, and Satan is being cast into the lake of fire. 1,000 years later, in Revelation 20 and verse number 10, here's what the Bible says. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Here we're 1,000 years down the road, and the beast and the false prophet didn't just burn up, and it was over. We're 1,000 years down the road. Now Satan himself is being cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are 1,000 years later. They are experiencing the torture of the lake of fire. My friend, you don't want anybody to go there. I don't care who comes to your mind and you have terrible thoughts about. You don't want anybody to go to the lake of fire, which is eternal. There are no appeals. There are no probations. There are no get out of the lake of fire free cards. There's no parole. And there's no second chance when you get to this judgment. God's grace at this point is gone. The people that are at the great white throne judgment, there's no more mercy and grace anymore. Right now there is. As long as you're alive, there's mercy and grace, but not at the great white throne judgment. You're past the point of return. You're past the point of repentance. You're past the point of the opportunity to get saved. So, preacher, what does that mean? If you're not saved, you ought to get saved today. You ought to get saved before you leave here. You got children that are outside the ark of safety. You ought to tell them about Jesus again today. You ought to call them. You ought to pray for them every day. You ought to realize, you know what? This is a serious thing. This judgment is coming. What's going to happen after that? The earth is going to be burned up. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 9 is a great verse. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did you know that it's God's desire that no one would have to go to the lake of fire? He doesn't want an individual to go. That's why He sent His Son, to die for all of mankind's sins. Anybody who has ever lived, Jesus has died for them. And He's long-suffering. That means He's patient. And He is willing. His will is that all of us should come to repentance. That if we have believed that Jesus is not an important thing or an important person, we just believe that, you know, He existed, sure, He walked on this earth, that we would change our minds about Jesus and realize that He's the Savior. He's the only one that can save me and believe on Him. That's God's desire. Now look at the next verse, verse number 10. The Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away. Remember, the day of the Lord is talking about a span of time in the end times, okay? The day of the Lord, that phrase is talking about a span of time in the end times. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What's coming? What's coming at this point after the great white throne judgment? God's going to destroy everything down here. He's going to burn it all up. The Bible says it'll be dissolved. It'll be void. There'll be nothing left of the earth as we know it. That's going to take place after the great white throne judgment. Then what, preacher? Oh, wonderful thing. New heaven and new earth. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Look at the first five verses with me. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" What's going to happen after everything is burned up? God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. All things are going to be new. It's going to come forth out of the heavens. There are no tears in this heaven and earth. There's no death. There's no sorrow. There's no crying. There's no pain. The Bible says that there's a tall wall that's made of jasper that will be as crystal. You'll be able to see through it. There'll be 12 gates in that city by which you can come in and out. And you know, today you lock your door because you're fearful. Man, there might be a thief in the neighborhood. Who knows? On that day and in this passage, if we had time to read through all of Revelation 21, the gates are opened all the time. There's no threats. There's complete safety, complete security. Those 12 gates are built with precious stones. We're talking about a beautiful place. It's a cube city, 1,400 miles in length, in height, in width. It's a city, the Bible says, of pure gold in verse number 21. It talks about the street of pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Listen, what people pay thousands of dollars today to put on their mate's finger, we're going to be walking on. It's going to be the street. And it's going to be as transparent glass. It's going to be that pure of gold. The tree of life is going to be there, yielding 12 manners of fruits. The pure river of water that flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb is going to be in that city. The population of that city will be believers, all believers, from the very beginning of creation. And there's going to be no temple there. Why? Because God's going to dwell with us. You know, when creation took place, the Bible explains that God walked down in the cool of the day to speak to Adam and Eve. There's no church. There's no temple. There were no sacrifices. It was God and Adam and Eve. When the new heaven and the new earth is set up, there's no temple. Scripture states that. Of course, we come today and we pray to the Lord and we sing to the Lord and we give to the Lord, and we respond to the truth. But I want you to know, He is going to be there in the new earth. He will be with us, and we will be with Him. We are His people. No lies, no abominations, nothing that would defile anything. It's no wonder that John, after he saw all of this, ended the book of Revelation in Revelation 22, verse 20 with this. "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Lord said, this is what's going to happen. And John said, amen. And John said, even so, come quickly. And brethren, we have much to look forward to. And I trust that this study has been helpful.